Romans chapter number 5, verse number 1. Let's all stand for the reading of the Bible. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray for your help now as we look at the Bible. May Jesus be lifted up, Lord. And Lord, you said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And so, Lord, all we want to do is do the lifting. And Lord, only you can do the drawing. So, Lord, thank you for allowing us to be co-laborers this morning with you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I will tell you that the spark of this message occurred during our Missions Emphasis Month, and I couldn't even tell you now which one of our guests was up here and exactly what point he was making. But I will tell you this, that the Lord used that point in my life. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, he was reading out of 2 Corinthians. Yep, 2 Corinthians chapter 25. And I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. The Bible says, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth die unto themselves, or live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. And he was reading the verses. You know, folks, let me tell you something wonderful about the preaching of the Bible. God, the Bible says God manifests his word through preaching. Y'all have been there. Y'all know what I'm going to say, I think. But a preacher can be focused in on a subject and preaching on a very specific subject. And yet, in the course of the preaching of the Bible, God will take a verse or a phrase or something he said and open up your thinking and your understanding to something that he really wasn't the main focus of the message. And I don't know why, but I sat there and thought to myself, you know, maybe that's what America needs to be reminded of. Maybe that's what Christians need to be reminded of. You know, why is it that so many Christians, once they get saved, insist still on living for themselves? Maybe it's because they've forgotten something. Here it is. It's a simple truth this morning. Somebody died for you. Somebody died for you. I want to just text that one phrase to some Christian that's away from God. Just one phrase. Not preach them a message. Not try to shame them to repentance. But just to remind them of one great truth. Somebody died for you. Somebody died for you. I recently visited, just as a result of that thought, I recently visited an online resource. And the host of this resource had invited people to come on board and to share a story. Now think about this. The type of story he requested was an unusual one. He stated that he understood that most people would not have this type of a story. The stories he wanted were stories of near-death experiences. But wait a minute, here was the twist. He was searching for people whose life was almost lost, but was saved because someone had died for them. Someone had given their life so that they could live. And I began to go down and scroll and read these short accounts. One lady told the story of her brother who died saving the life of his wife. A drunk and deranged man was driving at a high rate of speed. He was speeding away from a crime that he had just committed. This criminal purposely pointed his SUV at her brother and his wife, and as they were crossing the street with no time to avoid the collision, the husband only had time to grab his wife and turn his body between the vehicle, put his body between the vehicle and her, and he was killed instantly, but his wife was thrown clear and survived the impact. Somebody died for her. Another story I read was told of a school principal who was supervising the loading of her students at the end of the school day onto the buses at the end of the day. And as one of the buses pulled into park, pick up the students, the bus driver for whatever had some kind of a health issue and slumped over and hit the gas, and the bus jumped the curb and was careening towards a group of elementary students. This principal acted quickly and screamed and ran between them and the bus and actually physically pushed some of the kids out of the way. None of the children were hit or hurt, but she was killed instantly when she was struck by the bus. Hey, every one of those kids for the rest of their life can say this: somebody died for me. Another man shared the story of his mother who died protecting him during a car accident. This was a man that is old now, but the event happened when he was very young, 7 years of age. He was sitting in the front seat, passenger seat of their pickup truck when an oncoming car swerved in their lane at full speed. His mother only had time to do one thing. She just threw her body across the body of her son as the two vehicles collided. His mother died of injuries sustained in the wreck, but the boy was unharmed, saved by the sacrifice of his mother. At the end of the story, he wrote this, and I made sure I wrote down his words: "I am alive because of what she did. I don't want her name to be forgotten. Her name was Jennifer Lee." And I thought, I'm not going to say that, tell that story without telling his mama's name. You know what? He wanted the name of the person that had saved him to be remembered. Father and son were walking on a frozen canal when the ice broke, sending both into the freezing water. The father held up his son and cried for help. Some men working on a construction site heard his cries and ran to rescue the two. They threw an extension cord. They didn't have a rope. And they threw it to the man who tied it around his son. And his father had been holding him up and trying to swim and calling for help. The father then used the last of his energies to mightily hoist his son onto the ice so that he could be dragged to safety. The boy was writing the account, and he said, "As I look back, I saw my father disappear under the water. That was the last time I ever saw my dad. Somebody died for him." Another young lady shared the story of her mother who died so that she could be born. Think about this. Her mother was diagnosed with cancer at the halfway point of her pregnancy. Doctor encouraged her to abort the baby girl so that they could begin aggressive radiation chemotherapy. The mother refused to kill her baby and chose instead to postpone cancer treatment until her daughter was safely birthed. 3 months later, she gave birth to a healthy baby girl, but by then the cancer had spread and was untreatable. That little girl for the rest of her life can say, "Somebody died for me." Another adult lady shared this story of her grandmother's sacrifice. "During a strong earthquake, my grandmother used her body to protect a four-year-old girl she didn't even know. She pulled the small girl to the ground and covered her. As the houses around her began to come apart, a wall collapsed and fell on them. I'm told she broke her hip, her arm, and more. But this accident caused internal bleeding. My grandmother was bleeding out as they waited for help. As the rescue workers dug them out, all she kept asking about was the little girl. The emergency workers assured her that she was fine. And with that knowledge, my grandmother passed into eternity." A little four-year-old girl for the rest of her life can say this: "Somebody died for me." Soldier who served in Vietnam told the story of his battle buddy who gave his life to save several other men in his platoon. His platoon had been ambushed by enemy fire, and the soldier and four of his friends had taken cover in a ditch. An enemy then threw a grenade into the ditch. His best friend had, without hesitation, fell on the grenade just 1 second before it exploded. He gave his life, shielding his battle buddies from certain death. The soldier wrote this: "I lived because of his sacrifice. I think of him every day. I think of him every day." There were 30 more stories in this particular article, all stories of someone who had given their life for someone else. And by the way, even though I was moved by the stories of heroism and valor, I was more moved by the impact that these sacrifices had on those whose lives had been spared. Imagine, folks, if you were one of these people, imagine living the rest of your life understanding that someone else had been willing to give their life so that you could live. How would that change your view of life? How would that change the way you lived your life? What would you do so that your life showed an appreciation for that level of sacrifice? Well, I have news for everybody in the room this morning. Somebody did die for you. Somebody died for you. Everybody in this room has the same testimony. You could stand today and say, "Preacher, somebody died for me." You say, "Preacher, who was that somebody?" That's the most important and amazing part of our story. And you know what? Who that somebody was? It was Jesus Christ Himself. Jesus Christ died on the cross for me and for you so that we could have not only life, not only abundant life, but eternal life. Tell me more about this person who died for me. Well, I would love to. Thank you very much. His name should not be forgotten. His story should always be told. You know what? The amen was silent so that I could live. The arm of God was cut off for a while so that I may live. A beloved son died and was separated from his father for a time so that I could live. The branch was broken off so that I could live. The bread of life was defiled so that I could live. The captain of my salvation took a bullet for me. The chief shepherd died for the sheep. The cornerstone was rejected so that I could become a part of the building. That's who died. Jesus Christ died for me. The creator died for his creation. The day spring suffered the darkness of Golgotha so that I could have eternal life. The door become unhinged so that I could come in. The first begotten died, that first sacrifice. God died that day for me. That somebody that died was God. God died for me. God died for you so that you could have eternal life. The good shepherd gave his life for his sheep. The governor allowed himself to be impeached so that I could be elected. Amen. The heir of all things died so that I could become part of those that inherited. The Holy One became sin. Think about that. So that I could become the righteousness of God. Jesus is the one that I'm talking about. The judge of all Israel was condemned so that I could be set free. Think about all of the times Jesus is called King, the King, the King of Kings, the King of the Jews, the King of the Saints. A king died for a peasant that day. The Lamb of God gave his life so that I could be saved. You know what? Life died that day. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Life became death so that I could have eternal life. The light of the world for just a moment or two was extinguished so that I could become the light of the world. The Lord of all, the Lord of glory, the Lord of lords, the Lord of righteousness. Think about this. The Lord of glory became a man of sorrow so that I could have eternal life. The Messiah came for me to pay for my sins. The mighty God became weak for me. Our Passover lamb was slain and the blood applied so that I could escape the death angel, the Prince of Life, the Prince of Kings, the Prince of Peace, the Prince, the Prophet. All of these died for a mere peasant. This is who died. The rock was smitten so that I could drink of that eternal water. The root of David was plucked up. The rose of Sharon was crushed. The Son of God died for the sons of men. Think about that. The true light, you know what, was snuffed out for a time so that I could be rescued, so that I could be saved. The truth gave his life for me. The Word of God had his vesture dipped in blood so that I could have eternal life. Folks, listen to me. Somebody died for you, and that's who that somebody is. Who was it that died for me? It was Jesus Christ that died for me. What you say, "Preacher, he died, but why would he die for someone like me? I don't get that." Well, that's the question for all of the ages. We read in our text this in verse number 6, "For when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly." We read down in verse number 8, "But God committed his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Not only did Jesus die, but he died for us. He died for me when I was ungodly. He died for me when I was a sinner. Ecclesiastes 7:20, "For there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not." And you know what? He said, "That's all right. I still love them and I still want them, and I will die on the cross for them." Say, preacher, I know who died, and I know that he died for me, but how did he die? How did he die? The governor answered, by the way, Matthew 27, where I'm reading, the governor answered and said unto them, whether of the twain, well, ye that I release unto you. And they said, Barabbas. Pilate said to them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, let him be crucified. And the governor said, why? What evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See you to it. Then answered all the people and said, his blood be on us and on our children. Then released he Barabbas unto them. And when he was scourged, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, hail, King of the Jews. And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after that, they had mocked him. They took the robe off him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. When they were coming to a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of skull, they gave him vinegar to drink mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture they did cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there. Set up over his head his accusation written, this is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand, the other on the left. And they passed by, and they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. Thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, he saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now. If he will have him, for he said, I am the Son of God. The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. Now, from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, this man calleth for Elias. And straightway, one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, Let us see whether Elias will come to save him. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. Behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. The graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went to the holy city and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake, and those things which were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. Listen, folks, Jesus did that for you. Somebody died for you. Somebody died for you. Here's the most important question we'll try to answer this morning. Well, preacher, why in the world would he do it? He died for you to pay for your sins. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died. Why did he die? He died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. He was buried, that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. The primary purpose that Jesus came, and the primary reason he died, because he loved us, he wanted us, and he was willing to die for our sins so that we could have eternal life. Jesus wants us to live with him forever. I love 1 Thessalonians 5:10, who died for us that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Jesus said they've sinned and they're doomed to hell, but I want them. Why would he want us? But I love them. Why would he love us? I'll go down and die for them. Why would he do it? I don't know, but he did it. He did it. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Oh, I want this to settle in. Everybody, if you ask anybody in this church before I start the message, hey, did you know Jesus died for you? Oh, yeah, I know that. It's almost like some story we read about. It's almost like something that, our great-grandpa and our mom and dad always told us. And so, yeah, we just repeat it. But have you stopped lately and realized that this should change your life? That somebody loved you enough to die for you? Somebody died for me. Somebody died for me. I think I'm going to send that everywhere. I'm going to send that message as a reminder to every Christian. First of all, we need to get that message to people that aren't saved. Somebody died so that you do not have to die in your sin and spend an eternity suffering the second death in the lake of fire. Somebody died so you don't have to suffer that. I look at people's lives and I look at people who profess Jesus Christ as their Savior, and every practical thing that comes out of their mouth and every action of their life does nothing but bring shame to the Lord Jesus Christ. And all I want to do is just walk up and stand in front of them and say, somebody died for you. Somebody died for you. Have you forgot it? They died for you so that you could have this life. So that you can do what? Trample their name into the dirt and the mud. Bring shame and reproach to the name of the very one who cared enough about you to love you and die for you. Well, we need an old-fashioned revival of just going back to Calvary. Jesus died for you so that you could spend your life living for him. Watch this. I want you to get this. I went back and I read 2 Corinthians chapter 5. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, that he died for all. Why? That they which live, that's those of us that do get saved, should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. There's a reason beyond salvation that Jesus died for you and he died for me. He said, Jerry Ross, I died for you, yes, because I love you. And I died for you because I want you to live forever with me. And I died for you because I want to save you. But once you get saved, I don't want you to forget the cost. I don't want you to forget the sacrifice. I want that to be the motivational factor in all of your life. You should not henceforth live unto yourselves, but a him that died for us and rose again. I think that the people, if you went to interview these people, that whose stories we read, and those comments, I didn't write them down, but some of the things that these people will do and will not do, and how it changed the direction of their life and the thinking of their life, because they live forever with the idea that, you know what, I wouldn't be alive today if it wasn't for someone else that died. It just made them look at everything differently. Have we forgotten that somebody died for us? Jesus died for you so that you could live a life worthy. Listen, a life worthy of his sacrifice. Titus 2:14, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Yeah, I'm a Christian, but I'm moving in with this person. Living outside the bounds of marriage. But yeah, I'm saved. I'm a Christian, but I'm going to involve myself in a sodomite lifestyle. Don't try to tell me I'm not saved. Somebody died for you. Somebody died for you. I'm a Christian, but I don't go to church. I'm a Christian, but this is the worldly music that I like. Let me post it all over the place. These are the worldly places. Let me post all the pictures of me and immodesty. And let me just flaunt my wickedness. But hey, I just want to, hey, did you forget that somebody died for you? He didn't die for you so that you could shame his name. He didn't die for you so that you could wallow in iniquity. He didn't die for you so that you could spit on holiness and spit on the word of God and make a mockery of all that God stands for and all that God is. I mean, it ought to mean more to you than that. Hey, did I tell you this yet? Somebody died for you. Hey, preacher, don't you ever want to do some things that you shouldn't do? Yeah, I do. But somebody died for me. Don't you ever want to look at some things you shouldn't look at? Yes, I do. But somebody died for me. Come on, sometimes you just get weary and tired and, and you just, you know, you watch the inconsistencies, and you have to deal with the nonsense and the baby Christianity junk, and why don't you just quit? Because somebody died for me, that's why. Somebody died for me. I'm not henceforth to live unto myself. I'm to live for Him, unto Him, which died for them and rose again. That's why Paul wrote this. Boy, most people can't figure out the Apostle Paul. But you know what? If you read this and you understand it, you can figure out why he lived the way he did. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul's like, Jesus died for me. Why wouldn't I die for him? Jesus gave everything up for me. Why wouldn't I give up everything for him? Jesus was willing to do the will of the Father to redeem me. Why would I do less than the will of the Father? Folks, it's not rocket science. Come on, we shouldn't need to get up here and give you 47 different reasons why you ought to be faithful to church. I shouldn't have to preach on 10 reasons why we shouldn't be worldly. I mean, there's only one reason that ought to suffice everything, and that's this. Somebody died for you. Somebody died for me. That's enough. That's enough. You know, Jesus died for you so that you could live a life worthy of a sacrifice. Galatians 1:4, who gave himself for our sins. Why? That he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. He didn't save you so that you have this fake grace freedom to go out and wallow in the wickedness of this world. He saved you so that he could deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. The message is very simple, and I hope it was clear. If you're here this morning, I want you to know, and you've never received Jesus as your Savior, let me tell you this. You can be saved today. You can go to heaven one of these days, and here's the reason why. Somebody died for you. He died to pay for your sins. You know what? He did that on Calvary's cross. And he shed his blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. He became that perfect sacrifice, that lamb that was slain. He did that for you. And then they put him in a hole in the ground and they put a big stone around it. But 3 days later, he defeated death and he rose again. Listen, folks, he not only died so that we could have a salvation, our sins forgiven, but he rose again so that we could lay claim to eternal life. Stepped out of that tomb, he looked over the devil, the last enemy that was defeated, and said, give me the keys of death. Give me the keys of death. Go to Revelations chapter 1 there. Hang on his belt. The keys of death and hell are there. You know why? Because he's the resurrected Savior. Not only died for me, he rose again so that he could be with me forever. Are you here without Jesus Christ as your Savior? Somebody died for you. Hey, Christian, are you struggling in some area of your life? Are you being dragged and tempted and enticed by a bunch of backsliders to live a life below your privilege, a life less than it ought to be? Have you just gotten the habit of making excuse for every wicked worldly sin that is out there? I guess the preacher just sent me today to tell you this, remind you just one thing. Somebody died for you. Amen. Live like it. Live like it. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us. If we get over Calvary, then there's no hope. If we can read the accounts of the crucifixion, they no longer touch us. Then what other message can the preacher bring? The death, burial, and resurrection, the gospel is not only for the lost, it's a reminder to the saved. Lord, every day of our life ought to be altered. Our view of life ought to be altered forever. Our thinking ought to be altered. Our decision-making process ought to be altered. Our heart ought to be forever changed. Lord, I pray, dear God, we're watching. We're watching exactly what you said would happen in the last days. We're watching it. I know it was predicted and prophesied, but it doesn't mean it's any less heartbreaking. People are backsliding, they're walking away, they're falling away. They're giving in to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And now, Lord, they fill the airwaves, fill up social media
with all of their excuses for worldliness and wickedness. Maybe somebody just needs to go look them in the eye and remind them, somebody died for you. Somebody died for you. Bless the invitation, we pray in Jesus' name.